Yo, it's the most dope show. It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. Three guys on representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes. So you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, cause we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He woke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising a daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit that, got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of the shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. Three guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang.
Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't gonna get about you, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, suave.
Is this the same dude I'm thinking about? This dude has been running around talking about how he was the driver in the car for the longest time.
Passenger seat.
Yeah, he's been talking about being on the, he's been on podcasts talking about it.
That's how I got caught. He just kept talking.
Yeah, I'm like, that guy? I thought he was just fucking stupid to be shooting. I'm like, why are you running off your mouth like that?
DJ Vlad, man. He know what he's doing.
I saw a thing. I wonder if this is the same guy. Keefy D.
Mm-hmm. Keefy D, that's all.
He started talking publicly about being involved in Tupac's killing a long time ago.
Yeah.
But then on July 12th, 2018, Davis confessed to having a role in the killing of Tupac Shakur. I feel like he was talking about it before that. After revealing he was dying of cancer, he went on to say he was a passenger in the white Cadillac on the night of the incident. I think it was kind of like, oh, I'm dying soon, so let me just say it. He wrote a book, like, talking about what happened that night. He's been on podcasts. He was on Vlad at one point.
Yeah.
Talking.
And God was like, you know, it'll be funny if you beat that cancer.
Actually, God was like, you probably should have asked me before you wrote this book, because you're going to beat the cancer.
Let's go ahead and put this in remission for you.
Yeah. Right.
Enjoy your extra long life in jail.
You're going to beat the cancer. Matter of fact, you will live a long time.
Enjoy a long life of jail.
I think he also is the uncle of Orlando Anderson.
An actor, Orlando?
No, Orlando Anderson is the guy who shot the alleged shooter. Okay. I think there's some kind of relation there, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, yeah, Keefy D was in the passenger seat. There's a guy in the driver's seat, two guys in the back seat. All of them are dead. Keefy D is the only one of that group who's still alive. Orlando Anderson died like a year later after the shooting. What's interesting is Orlando Anderson, like a year after the shooting, filed a lawsuit against Tupac's estate because he got beat up that night, earlier in the night. So the gall of the guy who shot Tupac to then sue Tupac's estate for the beatdown he took. And then Tupac's mother sued him back for wrongful death. They settled out of court. Hours later, Orlando Anderson was killed.
Somebody got him.
Yeah, it was gang violence. And then there was another witness who died like 2 months after Tupac was killed. So all these people, most of them are dead. And then Keefy D thought he was dying, I guess. And he's just been talking recklessly.
God was like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
Made up the cancer so that people wouldn't kill him.
Yeah. Who makes up cancer? What kind of monster makes
what kind
up?
Of person do that?
He got his assignment.
I mean, that would be like saying, you know, your daughter got some sort of a powder on her and had to go to the hospital.
Right.
Why would somebody do that?
Kind of
not a good
person.
Why would you make that up?
It's not something that's not somebody makes up.
Also, Keefy D has implicated Puffy.
Yeah, I saw that.
He has said numerous times that there was just this general bounty that Puffy had put out on Suge Knight.
I've never believed it. That's,
I guess, the people in LA, the gangs in LA were aware of this bounty, and that was maybe a motivating factor for killing Tupac also. Although Orlando Anderson got beat down that night, which is motivating. And then Orlando Anderson, I think the reason they beat him down is because sometime earlier he had like stolen Tupac's chain or someone else's chain. Like there was a thing with Orlando Anderson. There's a whole back and forth that was going on there. And then they killed Tupac. Suge Knight got grazed with a bullet like in his head or something. He, I guess, could have died too, but he survived it. Suge Knight and Puffy still alive, Biggie and Tupac dead. You know,
I always thought Suge had something to do with it personally.
You thought Suge that set Tupac up?
Yep. Increase the value of the catalog.
I don't know if, but there's so much more.
Particularly if Tupac was like, no, I think I don't want to fuck with you anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking along those lines.
I don't know.
Because Dre had left Suge at that point.
By that point, Dre was right. Maybe.
So let's just say Tupac was like, I think I might want to fuck with Dre. Because Dre is more about the music and the musicality and stuff like that. I'm just thinking about maybe doing a collaboration with Dre. And then Suge was like, yeah, that's fine. Nope.
But there's no like, nothing corroborates that. I don't think there's nothing where Tupac
Corroborates Diddy having anything to do with it either. Yet people say it all the time. So
no, but there are things that corroborate Keefe D's story about. Keefe D knew Suge Knight earlier in life. They played football together when they were kids. Like they grew up in the same area.
Right.
They had some kind of, I don't know if they were friends. They were just maybe in the same area when they were kids. But this story, at least, Keefe D names the people involved. He explains how it happened. It kind of matches up with what went down.
Mm-hmm. The thing for me is this, I find it hard to believe there's an actual bounty system that is organized enough for you to hear Puffy wants to kill somebody and will pay you, but how you gonna get the money?
Yeah, but how you gonna cash it? This is full cash
app. Like, you didn't get the money ahead of time, because you know, if I'm Puffy, yeah, and y'all killed the motherfucker, I'm like, I'm definitely not giving traceable interaction.
Yeah, you ain't getting no money out of me. That's the kind of shit that you got to give me half the money up front, half when I do the job.
Yeah, a general bounty.
And if I don't do the job, you're not getting your money back. I'm going to try John Wick to do the job. I'm going to try to do the job, but I may not do it. That's how murders go, baby.
What if Puffy was like, okay.
Well, now refund policy.
I'm going to try. And if I don't accomplish it, you ain't getting this money back.
What if Puffy was like, I can't just hand you a bunch of cash, but here's what I'll do. I'll give you a record deal. You know how much money people make on my label.
Right. By the time you get done with the record deal, you owe him and you want to murder him.
I'll put your album out. How about that? That'll make you money, right?
Colorado just did a gorgeous play. I think it was a pass. I don't know. It's nice.
They're still bad. Getting stomped, though.
Huh? Here's the thing. That's what I expected from this First and Gold. Now, show me the replay. This is the thing I expected from Colorado this year was, yes, they're gonna get whooped.
Yeah,
but they're gonna be battling. That's all I expected from them. They're gonna be battling, but they're gonna get whooped.
I'm just thinking about like next year and the year after that.
But they weren't battling last week when old boy was trying to get his clicks. When old boy was trying to get his own clicks.
As far as pregame speeches go, that's not a bad one though.
I mean, that's what. I wanted to talk to y'all about that because y'all are
a guy from Oregon.
We're all men of sports. Do we need to hate our opponents, or do we need those pregame speeches to get hyped for a game? Do we need that? Do we need bulletin board material?
Some people
say that because you hear top people are like, particularly in boxing, like you hear people, you know, they generate up this anger and stuff like that. I've only seen one person who, like, you'll see him arguing, and then after the fight, they go and hug each other. I'm like, well, y'all weren't really mad at each other. You're just talking shit. Now, the one person I have seen be mad was Terry Norris. Like, he knocked out Paul Fayden and then went over to his corner and screamed in his face. Like, Jesus Christ. You know, he meant that shit.
I think when we're talking about sports being an entertainment product as well, at that level, it's more about do we need it, the audience viewing, I think. Because they know those cameras are in there.
Right.
That's what I'm like. Do we need? I don't need.
Apparently somebody does.
And is that the right way? Okay, so let now, which leads to the question is, what is the validity of that? Is that the... this, particularly when the races come out of the woodwork and attach themselves to you, doesn't that bother you?
I'm not even getting into that, dude, because I really think the Dion thing is too fucked up for people. It's fucking up everybody's shit.
Yeah, a lot of shit happening at the same time.
Yeah, we're turning him into like a racial guy when he's not. Yeah, we're turning the opponents into racists when they're not. Like, it's a lot of shit that can happen in the gray area of Dion, and Dion is 90% gray area for me.
Right.
So when he gives the fucking same type of speech, we love it. The mm-hmm. white dude gives a speech and kicks his ass. We hate it.
Here's the thing about Dion that I've noticed. And I started paying attention to this, and somebody said it today on Brother from an you know how they do the women take over Brother from Another. I don't know if any of y'all listen to Brother from Another, mm-hmm. but on Fridays, like three women take over. They call it the Friday Women Takeover or something like that. Three women mm-hmm. sit in. Which is pretty slick of the two hosts, because that gives them Friday off.
Right.
Pretty slick. Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike was up late doing Thursday night football.
Yeah, he's in Thursday night football. Anyway. Yeah. So that gives them Friday off. But they were saying Dion doesn't badmouth other coaches. No, he doesn't badmouth people.
Right.
And at first I was like, it seems like it's an act, but I'm like, it's really not an act from this guy. I think he's been a champion on every level. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any need to run anybody down.
Let's take it to another step though, because once again, it's a performance, right?
You gotta show.
Recognize it's not real. None of it's real, really.
But what Dion's performance aspect of it? Does he really just not like these people and he's just performing?
Well, no. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
Okay.
What I mean is this: his performance is pretending they're the slept on, underrated, underdog. No one fucks with us, but Dion's on every commercial. Like, it's you know, it's the they don't believe in us. Well, they got you on primetime TV every week.
They don't believe in the team, but they shouldn't believe in the team. Because the team,
right? They believe in you.
But
the team saying they're gonna be good, really good next year. But this year.
But I'm not taking anything away from him. I think that's what you do to motivate people. You know, so he tells those kids that it's they don't believe in you. They really should, but it's us against the world. And is it really? Not really. But that's what. And the other coaches have got their version of that bullshit.
Yeah, it's just the stakes are high. The thing that's different this year for me, and maybe it's just because I don't really pay attention to college football, is I don't remember seeing this many pregame speeches and postgame. You see it a lot every now and then, but it's like every week now there's a. Okay, cameras are on. We're performing. It's performative. It's mm-hmm. it's like selling a fight in boxing, you know, which is they don't really hate each other, but they're going to act like they hate each other, and then they're going to sell more pay-per-view tickets to them.
Yeah, and also the thing is, at the end of the day, the spectacle is Dion. And anytime Dion steps into a ring, anything he touches, it's going to be talked about. So like before, you're going to have tons of people who don't give a fuck about college sports, who don't care about what's happening. They're going to watch because the spectacle of Dion is there. So you have to do things to keep these people who otherwise wouldn't give a fuck about what the fuck you're doing. You have to keep them engaged. And I think this is a way to, quote unquote, keep these people engaged, because everything attached to it is a performance for everybody involved.
And if you're an opposing coach, that it's a no-brainer pregame speech to say, look, these people ride into town.
Yeah.
They've got the big, all the press is following them, the national coverage, and they got all these cameras and they haven't done shit. They can't beat us. Like, that's you can make yourself the underdog, which is what all these speeches end up being.
Yeah. Wrestling match.
I feel like it's like people want folks to be, they want college football to be something that isn't. Just for Dion. It's like, nah, man. Mm-hmm. No, Dion feels bigger than the game, but no one's actually bigger than the game. And the other coaches are gonna find their angles, and they're not gonna they're gonna get in the room. Guys, he's a nice guy, he's running a nice program. We want to try to beat him, not too bad. Don't try too hard. Like, nah, they're gonna fucking say.
Well, the USC coach did just that.
Oh, what did he say?
USC coach and Caleb, the cat who's the USC quarterback. Great program, like what he's doing. gonna be a good game.
That was that pregame speech?
No, when in the lead up to it.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. The pregame speech. That's what you brought up.
They didn't show us the pregame.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. When you see a pregame locker room speech, it's never, it's propaganda. It's never,
right.
It's never going to be like, guys, we're just going to try our best and we're going to do hard. And we just want to represent. Nah, they going to be like, they don't believe in you. They don't, you know.
In the pregame lead up for that first game, that Colorado State game, that's when it really got bad. It was people talk. I think the first coach was talking shit too in the lead up when they beat that, because they were really supposed to lose that game.
Texas A&M?
No, it's TCU.
Oh, TCU.
They beat that team, right? And then the next guy, that guy was talking straight respectability politics bullshit, which is a whole nother wrinkle. Mm-hmm. That white folks wasn't ready for, but black people was like, oh, we know what this is, you know. Then this coach, it was really just about pregame. But now this coach here, USC's coach, is just like, yeah, you know, we're going to have a great game, and I really like what he's doing down there. He's helping college football and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's his style. I mean, that's there are definitely
My question was, though, is his style, must you have these motherfuckers ain't shit style versus we have a good game and blah blah blah.
Well, I don't think you should have it. It's not a must, it's just your choice, you know. So there's a lot of, we never see any pregame speeches for the most part, and there's a lot of, as far as bulletin board material, it's just motivation. How do you motivate the team, and what's a good way to motivate people in the attention and economy? Is they're getting all the attention, isn't that fucked up?
Right.
And that means a lot to young people now. Like, we want attention too. And especially when the stakes are in future seasons, attention is going to mean bigger NIL deals. So you've got to get attention to yourself. You have to be in that world of getting attention. So it's funny because there are a lot of people on Twitter who are like, he made a speech about people just wanting clicks just to get clicks. I'm like, yeah, people go to Twitter and say Twitter sucks. It's just about clicks. And
exactly.
And they'll retweet people who say that.
It's all about
you're here to get clicks. That's the problem I had with that dude. And I think a lot of people pointed it out, where it's like, we play for win, they play for clicks. I'm like, you're here for clicks too, bitch.
Yeah, it's Oregon. Oregon has 57 different color combinations on the
uniform. Why do you have that many different uniforms?
Right, but to me, I just feel like people are maybe noticing it now because they are glomming on a Deion.
Right.
I just don't feel like any of this is new. Mm-mm. Right. I just feel like this is what college football been. People just ain't been watching it, or maybe it's been a long time since they watched it.
Why are people watching it now?
It's because of Deion.
Yeah, because he's a spectacle.
But it's also like people saying, I came to stand up because of Matt Rife, and you as a veteran comedian would be like, yeah, but Matt Rife ain't everything in comedy though. Like, calm down, guys. We've been doing this before him.
Matt Rife is the right, because, and I only say that because Deion is first of all, we know he's established from coaching at Jackson State.
Jackson State, yeah.
We know he could coach because we were paying attention to Jackson State. Nobody else would say, and he's been so successful. Well, successful everywhere.
This is why Matt Rife is a perfect comparison. Matt Rife came into the game in an unconventional way and is now at the top. Or near the top, right? One of the top acts.
That's true.
Deion came in unconventional. He skipped right to head coach.
That was the whole thing about, I don't want to do, I'm gonna go to Jackson State. I'm gonna be a head coach.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Matt Rife, I'm sure comedy. Yeah. I don't know his work like that. I'm not demeaning him, but people that are fans of his will be like, but he's funny and he could do the job. He's selling out the fucking show. What's the problem? And there's veteran comics that, whether they're insecure or whatever, that you hear them taking shots at the dude, and you're like, why are you taking a shot at him? He's doing it. Yeah, but it's
we were just talking about him the other night, as you say that. We were just talking about him at that. And the consensus among most of us, at least no one was admitting it, was like I said to me, I was like, I don't got no problem with the kid. I think he's fine.
Right.
He's not harming anybody. And he's not hurting the game of stand-up. So.
Right.
He was doing something that'll be like the shit Hassan did, that hurts the game of stand-up.
Correct.
That's a problem. Like, all y'all are making excuses for that. That's a problem.
But
that
then
I don't care. And
the corollary to college football, though, because stand-up is not you're not one-on-one fighting each other. right. and stand up. And so you can't have an opposing locker room where they're like, hey guys, we really love what Deion's doing and let's go shake his hand at midfield yeah. and all that stuff. You're trying to motivate your team to win. And if anything, it's kind of like that veteran comic who's been doing it a certain way. And then like this new exactly. guy just showed up and he's getting all the attention and he's leapfrogging everyone. It's like, wait, we've been doing this way this whole time. What right. you just got here? How are you leading yeah. the conversation? How
That's where I was it? Going with it, Andy, was essentially, I'm not saying those people are right. Yeah. I don't think these college coaches are necessarily right to take shots at Deion. But I understand? Yeah, because they fucking believe there's a system and they think he skipped it.
Oh, and I get that too. And yeah. I get that too. I yeah. don't think that they're wrong for taking shots at him. I don't like the way white America has it. Would
exactly
it would really that's, make that's me. The real issue. It would really make me feel uncomfortable if I was a white coach, and if I'm the coach of Oregon, and racist ass white people are glomming onto me to use me as an excuse. You're all of us. No, I'm the fuck not. Don't put yeah. me in with y'all.
and I think the undercurrent of
that ain't got shit to do with me.
the undercurrent of college athletics has been so racist for so fucking long.
Right. Yes, sir.
This is one of the reasons I didn't really watch college football.
Yeah, me neither.
For a long period of time because
so I don't fuck with Texas. You think I would? Nope.
Yeah, I recognize that me and the average white fan are rooting for two entirely different things.
Right. Yep.
Like I'm rooting for these kids to get the fuck out of there and get paid as soon as they can. Like
me too.
The second you show you got some ability, I'm like, I would sit that bowl game out. I would fucking
yeah. They put my name about that.
I put my name in the draft and I move the fuck on. And then when you see white people, they be like, nah, you go out there and stay as long for all 4 years, tear yeah. all your ligaments,
yeah. Yeah.
fuck all that I've shit. Had, you're getting
I've
paid.
I've had
for
discussions
free.
With white people who have said, "Well, you know, these college players, they play just for the glory, the purity of the sport." I'm like, are right. you in your fucking mind?
Right. and like the mind. Low and like with basketball, it's still racist, but like the thing with basketball is that. There's so many white people that love college basketball but not professional. Why? Because the last place that a nondescript ass average white dude can still can still hold be on own. The roster without being talented.
Hold his own. Right. Hold his own.
Yeah, it's the last place where like Tyler Hansbrough can be 25. And we just we're like, man, 25-year-old Tyler Hansbrough is much better than 17-year-old Zion Williamson. And we're like, wait till these motherfuckers get on a professional court. Please, Lord Jesus, let these people make it to the same league.
Right. Old Grayson Allen ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it's one of these things where it don't make sense when they make this argument. You mean to tell me a fucking student athlete is better than a professional? That makes no sense.
But that's, Christian Laettner was better than a lot of those guys.
Right. That's the shit they can believe in on that level. And so, like, I've always kind of had one foot out the door with college athletics because I hate the way racism is just baked in. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess when I see like a Dabo, I feel like Dabo's racist, period. It's never, no one's ever going to convince me.
I mean, his name is Dabo.
So. Exactly. Which is funny though. Cause if I had not seen a picture of this man, you told me Dabo Swinney, I'd be like, is that a brother? Dabo Swinney from West South Carolina. Let me see a picture. But like things he said, I'm just like, yeah, this brother's, he's a racist dude, man. And people send their kids down there to play for him because we've accepted that's part of the game. It's like, he going to get you to the NFL, go on down there, play for Mr. Dabo. Yeah.
Same thing with, what's the senator now? Racist.
Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah. Tommy Tuberville. Yeah.
And so I think I've been a lot less shocked by the, I think a lot of people, it's like a shock to return to college football and be like, oh, it's still racist. It's like, oh yes.
Oh, it never
and
stopped.
This is lightweight.
I'm gonna say, and it's probably the same thing with Nick Saban.
Possibly, Nick Saban might be. He might be. I hope not, but he could be, dog. Cause but my point being, like, it's so baked in, dog. This stuff that we've experienced with Deion so far is lightweight.
Yeah,
it's not even the real racism yet.
This
like that shit the dude said about the hat and the shades. You can make an argument that that's not even like he was just like, I don't like Deion fucking Sanders.
Yeah,
right.
Like, and there's
a white comic here, Jack. He's from Alabama. He's like, oh, they're gonna offer Deion the Alabama coaching job. I'm like, no, they're not. Mm-hmm. they're not. I said, Jack, stop it.
Do you know anything about Alabama? I'm
like, you grew up and lived there. You grew up in Birmingham. What? You left because of the experience of your own family.
what race is this comic? Is this comic black?
He's white.
He's white?
Yeah.
That's why he believed that
because of the racism. You left because the racism drove you up here.
Right.
And you got, no, that's what you want, bruh.
Right. You want that shit. That ain't gonna happen.
Them people down there don't want what you want.
Boy, you imagine Dion in the fucking office with them boosters.
Please.
Trying to get them to toss their money. Some big fucking country western wearing hat motherfuckers.
Right.
You know, I was gonna give y'all $300 million, but I don't know. This new guy.
It's something about that Dion.
Something about this Negro.
Come on, man. They walk in there. He just started laughing when I said that. I said, "Come on, man."
Right.
Yeah. They walk in there, but like, why does he look like the help? Right. I don't understand.
They're gonna walk in and be like, "Hey, boy, can you go get me a Coke and water, please?
Go and get the coach, boy." Oh, that's the coach. Oh, I'm sorry.
Never mind. Forget I said that.
Good about it.
Yeah, I'm like, no, dog. No. I know what you want. It's not happening.
Right.
So get out of your head. Get out of your head. The venerated Alabama. No, the Crimson Tide. No.
Honestly, dog, I think that coach for Oregon, the one need to be scared.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like program that would, man, they fucking kill to have Deion Sanders. That's probably why he was talking that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck Deion.
All right. All them colorways and shit they be trying to, you know, because Oregon been trying to get into the mainstream. It just ain't catching on, man. Like,
right.
They also got the Nike money up there.
Let it not be forgotten that Oregon is a Nike school. In a Nike town, and Deion is a Nike athlete.
Right. That's why that coach is like, he doing it for the clicks. He doing it for the clicks. It's not the same. It's not the same, y'all.
It is not the same. And you mean tell me, Deion, they were talking about them big ass shades. Them fucking shades sold out. You can't get them bitches anywhere. Of course, they would kill to have Deion.
Yep. Don't get it twisted. Deion is a Nike athlete, and this is a Nike school. Nike, you look at
Nike fist pumping.
View of Oregon, there's the main stadium, a full practice stadium, and then right next to that was another full like sport complex. I'm like, that's Nike money right there. 20 some odd uniforms, that's Nike money right there. That's all Nike money. And guess who is a Nike athlete?
Right.
Nike would like nothing better than making an eight-toed shoe. They'd like nothing better than
all of the colors.
on the coaching front too, like Deion's a nightmare for these coaches because their coaching culture has become so corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys don't really have a lot of personality. Like, we know Nick Saban as the head coach of Alabama, but we don't know his personality.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
right.
You know, Deion's a guy that just jumps off the page, man. They don't want this. They don't like this motherfucker coming in doing this shit, dog. They
rocking the boats.
Yeah, and I mean, and he made a great point last week after the game where he said, "You better get us now. This one, we're going to be sorry right here. Like, it's only going to get worse for y'all the longer this goes on." So, yeah, I mean, I do love people talking about college football. Oh, interception. Let's go. I love people talking about college football. And I'm rooting for Deion just in the level of like, four black coaches left or whatever. Like, I'm rooting for them.
160 some odd D1 programs.
I don't know what kind of black man you would have to have at a head coach job that would really make me be like, hell no.
Yeah, Mark, your feet is way ahead of mine.
Yeah, you just got that pick.
Yeah, way ahead of mine. You got it on too, Rod?
Yeah, of course. I'm black. It's Saturday. Watch Colorado.
Andy, what are you watching?
I'm actually looking at this email we just got.
Exactly. We're all looking.
I'm trying to do a podcast, guys.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm looking at this email we just got because it's titled Oxtail.
Mm.
So I want to see what it was. Food. And
the Oxtail economy.
Robert sends an email, said, I think.
Big tail.
Y'all are talking about oxtails going on everything now after that oxtail pizza. Now I see them mixing oxtails with lobster. and he included an Instagram link. I guess to a degree that makes sense because both were cheap foods eaten by working class people that are now expensive. And then there's a link to some food porn.
D-bugs.
Of this, I guess it's probably, this looks, all these restaurants, I guess, are doing the turkey leg hut thing where they just post
food porn.
Porn from there.
I love food porn. But you know what's funny?
Rod, you follow that cat on Twitter who says, who always says, give me some. He always sings and says, give me some.
I ain't seen him. Send me a link.
He always, he's the dude that always sings.
But Andy, this is the thing though. It ain't the same. We have a chance to stop oxtail from becoming lobster.
Right.
And we're letting it happen as a society. This is worse than the news thing from the last episode. We can stop big oxtail right now and keep it affordable.
Stop big tail.
Don't mix it with lobster. Stop putting other shit with it. Just fucking, oh my God.
I don't think oxtail needs lobster.
No, it doesn't.
Big lobster
but
don't
does
need
lobster
oxtail.
Need oxtail?
I ain't even gonna cap. This oxtail and lobster loaded mashed potato was absolutely crazy. You know the oxtail was falling off the bone, and that lobster, oh my goodness, came in a clutch. I'm about to show you how to whip it up. Let's go ahead and get it. You know we gotta start off by giving our oxtail a nice wash. We washed those with some lemon. Then we went in with that ranch seasoning, garlic powder. Then we went in with some Worcestershire sauce, some browning sauce, a little bit of Tony's no salt. Then we went in with that avocado oil, and we let that marinate. Then we went into that hot pan and got that nice and browned off. Next, we went ahead and added in the last little dripping from the pan with some herbs, some thyme, some rosemary, and some beef broth. We threw that scotch bonnet in there to spice it up a little bit. You know we got to split little Larry in two. And then we went ahead and let that do what it do. Added in some onions, some peppercini, peppers, garlic. And then we went ahead and got our lobster whipped up. We cooked that oxtail until it was falling off the bone. And I'm telling you, this one is a hit. No kidding. Cookbook link in my bio for more recipes.
Okay, so he's selling a cookbook. Seafood
good.
Network.
I don't fuck with the seafood aspect.
What's next? Chitlins and shrimp? Fuck out of here. Yo, we got that chitlins and shrimp, you know what I'm saying? No cap.
Stamped. Chitlins
not
and shrimp.
Stamped.
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 This channel on Instagram, this Seafood Network. Not Food Network. Seafood Network.
Is this his, just
book.
His channel?
It's got 2 million followers. It's got to be more than just him, right?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's not his hand right there. That's somebody else.
Yeah, that's a woman.
So maybe they just post everybody's seafood recipes.
I guess so.
Bang Bang Shrimp. Not only does it look good, bang, bang, but
shrimp.
It tastes amazing.
Come on, Bang Bang Shrimp.
I made it. I seasoned my shrimp with mustard, sriracha sauce, and a beaten egg, and it should look like this when done. To a bowl, I added some all-purpose flour, salt, pepper. I added some onion powder, garlic powder, a little cayenne, and some paprika. I gave that a nice mix, and then I tossed my shrimp into the flour mixture. Next, I cooked them in some hot oil for about 5 to 6 minutes. They get done fast. For my sauce, I used about a half a cup of mayo. I used some sweet chili sauce, sriracha. I also added some red chili pepper flakes for a little more spice, and I gave that a nice mix.
It's easier than you think.
I plated my shrimp along with some Olipop ginger ale. I heated up my Bang Bang sauce for about 15 seconds, and then I poured it onto my shrimp. And y'all see how amazing this looks?
It does look good. I don't eat shrimp, but it looks
giving
good.
This recipe a try.
I love some Bang Bang shrimp.
Mm.
What was that place we go to? That Bang Bang shrimp is delicious.
Yeah, is this all seafood? Can we get
the
off the seafood? Can y'all give me
something? Seafood Network, this channel. It's 2 million followers.
Randolph don't eat no type of seafood. That's so wild to me.
See, I've said it before. The minute you say that,
you don't know. It's because here's why it's wild.
You don't eat no.
You are among the most like healthiest people I know. Like,
I know.
And seafood is such a like the one that everybody's like, you what you need to do get you some fish.
They be like, salt, pepper, taste your fish.
You know, I get my omega-3s out of the diet out of my body.
Yeah, so it's just always interesting when you're like, I don't like seafood.
But I'm like, but seafood is tasty.
Fried bugs.
It is good. Man. He don't like it.
A lot of fried bugs. I don't fuck with it. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like the way it smells when it's cooking. I don't like nothing about it.
Yeah.
Science.
And Samantha, you're right.
Speaking.
That's the first question. You just casually mentioned it. It's like, are we going to the seafood? I don't eat seafood.
Mm-hmm. What?
Also, seafood is not fried seafood. Some of it is
yeah, you fish. Can do it all kind of ways. You can cook it all
yeah,
kind
of some
ways.
Of it's fish, y'all. Those are not bugs. Yeah, y'all. Right. So nice try, and, chat room. Nice
and
try.
Shrimp, scientifically speaking.
Those are bugs, but I said no, not all of
they're
them.
Not. There's a whole species and genre dedicated to bugs, and guess
exactly.
not in them.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Mark. I retract my earlier statement.
Well, I eat what Randolph won't eat.
I appreciate your addition to the.
Well, the thing is, I'll go to a seafood restaurant because they all serve chicken. So right. I don't have a problem with that. I'll go. if you really want the seafood, I will go. I'll eat the hush puppies.
It sounds like a deep childhood trauma is related to this that we're not getting to.
Trying to attack you. Did a shrimp try to drown you?
With a catfish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know your mama beat you. Mama beat him with a catfish. That's why you don't. What? She just picked up a catfish. Started
catfish
wailing
tried
on
to him. Drown him.
He can't eat the shit no more.
It was still alive too. It was like trying to bite him.
Yeah. Well, what I tell your ass, go get my catfish. Go get me a catfish.
Didn't you do fish sticks growing up?
Yes. We used to eat fish sticks. You were a littler. We used to deep fry fish sticks. The Morton's, I think it was Morton fish sticks.
Yeah, classic Morton's fish sticks.
We would deep fry. We would have fish sticks and
like French fries,
deep fried in the chicken grease, that jar chicken grease. That chicken grease is that all purpose grease.
And the Crisco can.
And the trauma from the fish sticks. Yeah. How did that affect you?
Now, fish sticks were okay.
Okay.
Would you
eat them today though?
Nah. Right, the thing about the fish sticks, well, first of all, I'm trying to get away from deep frying stuff. I use canola oil now.
Right.
I do a lot of deep frying because I got Amy now hooked on deep fried pork chops. But ooh, I do my deep frying.
I made some deep fried pork chops on Thursday.
Yeah, I fry my shit hard. I do canola oil or that palm seed oil. I do those are no cholesterol oils. That's the one. Stop fucking with vegetable oil, y'all, and corn oil. Stop fucking with that. It's a little higher end canola oil. It's gonna cost you about 20 cents more. That's the oil you want. Okay. It's better for you on cholesterol for cholesterols.
And it doesn't have any smoking.
Yeah, it doesn't have. Well, it has a higher heat point too, a higher smoke point. So even then, it doesn't even smoke.
How you feel about peanut oil?
I mean, it's fine. It's the same thing. I just need something that doesn't fuck off your cholesterol. That's all I care about. So just find me the oil. So I'll fry stuff like that. I just at this point, I'm buying it. I'm not buying fish sticks. My mom will buy fish sticks. I'm buying.
I don't do fish sticks either. I was just wondering.
Fish is like
yes, Latoya.
Food.
I do. Use, yeah, I do.
It's like chicken
cook,
nuggets,
popcorn in canola oil. I do, and it works fine. Just put it on high. Just cook on high because it takes a little more to heat the oil up.
This is the issue with oxtail right now. This is an article from a few months ago. According to the USDA's National Monthly Grass-Fed Beef Report, that's a thing. Beef oxtail has risen in price from a little over $9 in January 2018 to nearly $14 per pound. So the price is skyrocketing.
See? Because everybody putting this shit in lobster.
And the white folks done got a hold of it.
I'm not going to let y'all do that. It's us.
I'm going to blame them.
I'm paying attention to the oxtail market, and it's us.
Colorado just scored again. These motherfuckers trying to make it a game.
We out here influencing this shit, and I don't like it. Black people, we got to keep some shit in-house. The fuck are we doing? The oxtail cheesesteak was a black-owned restaurant.
We have seen this happen to us before.
Right.
Okay. They already took hip hop. What else?
Right.
You this know how to take rock and roll too.
Now you got the Rolling Stone telling us who could be a master of rock and roll. So we let the shit out the hood.
It's gonna allow this shit to happen.
Who could be a master of oxtail?
Right. We 5 years away from the greatest oxtail chefs in the world, and it's five white dudes.
They've reimagined the food that no one ate for years before this.
Right.
The only white chef I would trust with oxtails, he better be Jamaican. You better be a white man talking with a Jamaican accent. There's plenty of them, and you better be one of them.
Oxtail, the new hot meat. That's what they're going to say when the white folks get a hold of it.
Cooking oxtails with a French accent, white man. Get out of here, Pierre. Keith said,
I would fuck with that dude. He probably dead, but yeah. I would fuck with that dude. The motherfucking New Orleans dude. Y'all remember him?
I think he passed.
Yeah. I would fuck with him. Damn. He made so oxtail I eat.
Which one? Emeril Lagasse or
the fat one that poured the wine. He's put too much wine in there.
That man even still alive. He been old all my life. He gotta be
John Goodman did him on Saturday Night Live.
He had his own spice line. Yeah.
I would trust him with some oxtail.
Oh yeah, because that shit gonna be flames.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as in 2021, oxtail, Justin a lot of Jamaicans, Wilson, Jamaicans had some issues because the oxtail prices were going up in 2021.
See?
$8.99 a pound up to $18.99 a pound in some supermarkets.
See? That don't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah, oxtail was that, okay, I don't have a lot of money, but I want some protein. Some oxtail.
But cow foot was still cheap. So the cow foot.
Right. Eat on the foot.
We eating feet and tails and now we done food. Fucked up the tails.
Slave food, man.
Yeah.
Slave food.
Hey, check out this cow foot.
Any little odd parts of the animal that we're eating, it's all slave food.
Ingenuity to make it, you know, something tasty.
You ain't gonna have none of this eye stew. You ain't gonna have none of this eye stew.
The next thing you know,
slave food, goat
is going to be expensive because everybody's making curry goat.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to make curry goat.
That's just going to piss.
Well, see, goat hadn't crossed over yet. We got to keep them away from our recipes because you're right. That might be next. They once they get out the oxtails going, curry goat and mac and cheese. Like, what? Now, why are we doing that?
Why are we here? And curry goat is.
Y'all just mixing white people's shit with our shit. What you doing? Right.
This restaurant is resorting to cow foot and cow skin. What the
damn
hell?
cow skin.
I've never even heard. Isn't that leather?
Yeah,
that's what I thought it was.
They're trying to make some chicharrones out of cow skin.
Would I try it? Yes,
I would
try it at least once.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I wouldn't try at least once.
Yeah, I had a chicken foot one time at a dim sum place.
Yeah, we did.
It was pretty good.
Chicken feet it just looks like.
I mean, they sell chicken feet here at HEB.
Yeah, they look terrible.
So. Yeah.
But I had to try it because I was like, fuck, I'm never going to eat a chicken foot again. I had some of that motherfucking, is it called pozole or pozole? It's like that Mexican soup.
Yeah.
It's got like tripe in it and shit.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I never had tripe before. It was good.
Yeah, pozole.
It's just because it's just chitlins.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Dude was describing it. And I said, like, he was like, he went all out of his way and shit. He's like, oh yeah, we take the tribe and we do this. I said, that's just chitlins. Let me ask you this, man. Are you sure that's not just chitlins? Y'all didn't just throw some chitlins in there? He's like, oh no, it's the tribe. I said, okay. Then I had some when I got home. I think I just ate some chitlins.
I think that man lied to us.
Same old man might have got me.
Yeah,
he gave it to us free though.
No, Samantha, you don't want to Google what tripe is. Mm-hmm. You know it, or you already know what tripe is. You just know it's called tripe.
Also, I should have known it was chitlins because he gave it to me for free, which is a staple of the chitlin distribution program. They always give it to you. My grandma tried to give it to you for everybody.
Well, tripe is the cow equivalent of chitlins.
It's like, it's cow chitlins.
It's still the same thing. It's cow chitlins instead of pork chitlins.
He was describing that shit. I said, He's like, it's the intestine, you know? I'm like, yeah, that's chitlins, bro. That's, oh no.
It says tripe.
Somebody said earlier, menudo is a hangover remedy. I'm like, yeah, it is.
That's what everybody says about everything. I'm like, you know, hangover remedy, drink some goddamn water. There you go.
Right. And you know what that means? It's nasty.
Yeah,
no one's ever said hangover remedy for some delicious shit.
you know what's a good hangover remedy? Ribs.
Right. Yeah. Never. Not once.
Not one. See. Nobody said, you know what a hangover remedy is? Red velvet cake.
Right. It's always like some. Oh man, what you gotta do? You gotta get you a Bloody Mary. I'm like, what's in that? Tomato,
vodka,
celery. Like,
sounds strange.
I would never order that. Not hungover.
What's a good hangover remedy? Clamato. What is
right?
Clamato?
Yeah,
that's clams and tomato juice mixed together. I can't believe they legally sold that in the stores.
Right.
Clamato.
That shit be on the bottom shelf just as dusty.
Yeah, dusty as hell.
Trash. It says tripe has a mild liver-like flavor.
Oh yeah, does it? Mm-hmm. There's a food. There's a food.
You know what else is nasty? Also, liver.
Liver.
Yep. I heard it's good for hangovers.
Yeah, it's good for hangovers.
That was the day they. I want to be in the marketing meeting where everybody came up with that one. Because that's what happened. They was like, bro, we not moving. We not moving livers.
Livers ain't flying off the shelves no more.
I don't know if y'all been looking at the stock, but we not. The livers is down, man. We got to come up with a way.
Something.
Say it's a hangover cure.
Moody's livers.
Guys, not the tomato juice is not doing what we thought it was
going to
do.
These V8 okay? ain't moving like they
do. They get the apple juice. They get the grape juice.
Here's what I think we should do. Now hear me out. Why don't we take clam juice?
Just the juice?
Somebody say clam juice when I say that. Now, why don't we take clam juice?
Clam juice?
Hey, wait a minute. Listen.
Did he say clam juice? What's he talking about? Clam?
We're just going to take the juice from clams.
I didn't know that had juice.
So we're going to squeeze the clams to get the juice out of them, right?
Okay.
And then we mix that with the tomatoes.
Okay. Because that'll solve the backlog of tomato and clam juice we have.
We
don't know what to do with it.
So let's put this out to the group. So what do we call it? Do we call it like tam juice?
Toe clam.
Call it tam juice? We can call it tam juice, right?
Toe clam.
or we can call it clam juice. It's hard to say. The T and L don't go together good. Clam juice. Can we call it that?
Clam. Got to
think of something more catchy.
How about clamato?
Clamato.
Clamato. Well, how about clamato?
That's it. Clamato.
I think we got the name. Clamato. There you go. Winner.
Clamato juice.
Now how do we sell it? What do we tell these people that they need to drink clamato juice for?
What's the catchphrase?
Because I'm going to be honest, I would never drink this shit sober.
Yeah,
I would never. I need to be so fucked up.
So do we tell them that it has something? I know. We'll go to the standby and tell them that it's for hangovers.
Yeah, exactly. So you need somebody with enough of an impaired decision making. That they're still kind of drunk.
That's a good one, Samantha. Thank you. It clamato keeps you clean. Yeah. There you go.
Ah, clean.
Stay regular.
And it's made for Mott's. Ain't that the people, the apple people, apple juice people?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's their specialty.
It has sugar in it. It's made from tomato juice, concentrate, sugar, the flavor with spices and dry clam broth.
Clam broth. We're going to take the clams.
Ain't nobody ever. No, you've never been in a situation in your life where somebody was like, hey, man, let me get one of clamato.
You know what they do here in Texas is they take Corona, the beer, and they mix it with clamato.
Ugh.
Oh, clamato is how they pronounce it in England.
Yeah, we say clamato over here.
Clamato.
Yeah. Bro, I'm just guarantee you no one's ever like gone to somebody's house and been like, open up a six
you
pack.
You got some tomato juice?
I need me a can of clamato.
If you got a six pack of clamato,
clamato goes good with bourbon.
There's never been a Gatorade flavor called clamato.
Right. If you bought a six pack of clamato to somebody housewarming, they'll kick you out, dog.
Ain't nobody drinking that shit.
In 1935, the Clamato Corporation of New York, the CCNY produced. No. Clam and tomato juice in combination. In 1940, Lobster King Harry Hackney was granted the Clamato trademark. So this has been around for a long ass time.
Is that kind of like Abe Froman?
Apparently.
Yeah, it's Abe Froman.
Atlantic City.
Like, is that like Abe Froman?
Harry Hackney
King.
He's the Abe Froman of Clamato juice.
This, you know what? I'm starting to feel like we stumbled onto a money laundering situation for the mob.
Right.
Yeah, we'll tell them this in the Clamato juice.
In 1998, Cadbury Schweppes sued former contract manufacturer of Clamato, FBI Foods, claiming that their brand Caesar cocktail was proof of breach of confidence. So there's lawsuits. There's this Clamato wars going on.
Clamato go way back, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Claiming the product used their recipe as a base. They brought the case to the Supreme Court of British Columbia. Case reached the Supreme Court of Canada, was ruled that FBI Foods would pay Cadbury Schweppes $300,000 for revenue they lost. So people are stealing the Clamato recipe and repackaging. That's how popular.
I need an HBO miniseries about this shit.
About Clamato?
About the Clamato Wars.
Ain't then the ginger ale people? Just go way back.
You know what? I think this could, I honestly believe, as you say that, I think this could be done fun.
Yeah. Yeah, comedy, Netflix. Obviously.
I think it could be done fun, Clamato Wars. I think I think we could do a fun thing with.
I'd watch some Clamato Wars.
With Clamato Wars.
That'd be great.
You know, there's a.
Because the whole premise of the whole starting premise of it would be, who the fuck thought this up?
Yeah.
That would be the whole premise of it.
Oh, you know, there's a documentary on Netflix about maple syrup in Canada.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
And the mob.
Yeah, they was my bro. They weren't playing.
Yeah, they weren't playing.
There's money. There's money. I understand that because there's a lot of money in maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. You
know, so yeah.
So I can see this product. Being kind of like the same thing.
Spinoff called Beef-A-Mato. Mott's once produced a similar beverage named Beef-A-Mato made from beef broth and tomato juice.
See, I'm actually closer to that being. Okay,
but why is the A in there?
Then Clamato.
Why is it just beef mato?
Yeah, beef mato.
Clamato, beef mato.
Why is it?
Or mato beef?
It's beef o mato.
Beef o mato sounds like beefaroni.
Beef a mato.
Why is that a beverage?
That actually, I'm actually curious about that one.
I'm closer to that being okay.
As a beverage,
you know what? Like, you know what beef or mato sounds like though? It sounds like it'd be a killer marinade.
Right.
If you heated that up and put a little bit of butter in it to thicken it a little bit.
Right. But they saying it like you just drink a glass of the shit.
So cold out of the refrigerator? Nah, fam.
Hey man, crack over that beef or mato, nigga. Nah, it's man. About to be a party.
Pour that shit over some ice.
Cold look at this picture. I'm good.
Look at that. Is that a wine glass?
Oh no. Who is drinking this like it's fancy?
The sophisticated drink.
I tried to look it up at HEB.
The tomato again.
Again.
Jesus. The tomato was fine by itself. I hope they know that.
First, we improved it with Clamato.
Right.
A remarkably refreshing blend of tomato juice and delicate clam broth.
Is it now remarkably? Is it remarkable?
Who would the athlete endorsement person be for Beef Amato?
Travis McAfee? Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
John Cena.
It would have been what's the tight end? A Gronk, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
That's a Gronk product.
Like this right shit, there. This shit look like
Gronk product.
This shit look like something where they'd be like, Johnny Unitas, Jace Beef. What's your secret? Beef or mato, kid.
Some kid.
It's always a touchdown when it's beef or mato.
They had a Baldwin brother pushing this? Ugh.
Wait, they had a Baldwin brother pushing beef or mato?
What just happened?
Somebody in the chat room said something about a Baldwin. Oh, right there. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the bald? I thought this. Oh, okay. You don't even want to know.
Is that a real picture? Did Alec Baldwin? That looks like it might be Photoshop. Was he a pitch man for Beef-A-Mato?
He looks like the president of Beef-A-Mato.
He doesn't. It probably was his ideal.
In that picture.
I think.
Yeah, I honestly thought you meant James Baldwin for a second. Like, what the fuck just happened?
Like, James that Baldwin, don't make sense.
He's holding his glass with his pinky out.
Right.
He was drinking Beef-A-Mato the whole time.
Making that same face he always have. Like, don't trust these white folks.
All right. Someone has to Photoshop James Baldwin pinky out drinking some Beef-A-Mato.
Right.
This glass of Beef-A-Mato specifically.
the slogan will be like, Beef-A-Mato, try it if you want to.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Try Mott's Beef-A-Mato in jars as pop-top cans. While you're at it, pick up Clamato. They're both great, both from Mott's, and you thought we just made great applesauce. Yeah, well, I question the applesauce now.
Oh, no!
Spoiler, they're both not great.
Right.
And spoiler, you probably can't find this on your shelves at your grocery store.
I just want to see what's on
the... I just tried to look it up at my local grocery store, and nope.
I need to see what's on the cutting room floor. Of shit that they tried that didn't get out.
Right.
Lamb-a-mato? We're not selling enough lamb meat. Okay, well, why don't we combine it with tomato juice? Right.
Okay, how about this? Clams and applesauce. We call it clamplesauce.
No, Jimmy. We can't do that one either.
I'm listening. There's one guy, he's like, Mr. Mott. He's like, I'm listening.
Go on.
Jimmy Mott. Let him finish.
Okay, we take chicken juice.
We take cranberries and do with tomatoes. Now it's cram-o-mato.
Cram-o-mato. Yeah.
We'll tomatoes. Take chicken juice and we'll call it salmonella tomato.
Yeah. Now it didn't do well. I'm not gonna lie. Didn't do good in the lab test.
Didn't do well at all. A lot of people got sick.
We think we need to put a warning on the bottle. We still can sell some chicken juice.
Yeah. Salmonella. Salmonella.
There is a video on YouTube called How to Make a all right, Beef Tomato Cocktail.
Why is that even a thing?
Cocktail.
Now, beef tomato has been discontinued. So is this person just making their own homemade recipe of beef tomato?
They're using V8. That's not the same.
When you make beef tomato, if you make a beef tomato cocktail when beef tomato doesn't exist, you're just an alcoholic.
Kroger, right, exactly. Kroger Culinary. This is propaganda from the Kroger company. Look at this shit. Kroger Culinary. You're trying
this motherfucker trying
big V8.
This motherfucker trying to justify his alcoholism.
That's V8.
He tried.
You know, what he did was he took V8 and he mixed it with beef broth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, with beef broth. Okay.
He using his YouTube recipe channel to justify being an alcoholic.
This is a motherfucker who's got a problem. I was about to say, this is a motherfucker who's got a problem.
See, what you need to sauce? Do.
No, honey, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just making recipes for my
corn
YouTube.
Syrup.
Corn syrup.
This is a motherfucker who's got a problem right here. White pepper, not black pepper.
You want to shake it up?
Shake it well.
Shake it up. Okay.
Well done.
You ain't going to put no celery
in it. Why is the glass leaning?
Yep. There it goes.
There's celery.
That's it.
What the fuck is going on that picture right there?
Okay, so where's the cocktail part of it?
Your fingers off.
This nigga got Vienna sausage hands?
I don't know okay. what's happening.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. And it says basic knife skills.
This is a YouTube rabbit hole.
How not to do it?
It's the same channel. Okay,
here's what you don't want to do. Cut off your fucking fingers, okay? That's step one.
Well, supposing you just drank a whole gallon of beef tomato. You're a little drunk. You might... You might not want to cut things with a knife.
Culinary 411, where it's all about the info. Today, it's about basic knife skills.
You just start dancing like Britney Spears.
Please don't. Please don't, sir.
Yeah, so you can make, there's a recipe in this description of making your own beef tomato cocktail.
This motherfucker, alcoholic Andy, he said 46-ounce bottle of V8.
Right.
See, that's just so he can put more alcohol in it.
Yeah.
He's going to surf. He's going to serve this to you in a paper bag.
Yeah.
Like that's how he serves it.
But now, I'm be careful around open flames because this is flammable.
When did he put the alcohol in it? That's the thing, though.
Yeah, I didn't see where he put the alcohol in it.
I don't.
It takes alcohol to make it a Bloody Mary.
One cup of vodka.
One cup of vodka. See, that's the whole key. That he just want to drink a cup of vodka.
And a cup of vodka is a lot of vodka.
It is. He made all this shit up so he can drink a cup of vodka.
And make sure he put hot sauce, not wing sauce.
Right, just hot sauce. Mm-hmm. If it's a Bloody Mary, they don't call it Bloody Mary. They call it a rare Mary if it's beef tomato.
Okay.
Because rare steak is bloody, so it's a rare Mary.
Well done, Mary. It's a little variation we're working on.
Can you cook that Mary a little bit longer?
Yeah. Fuck out of here.
Okay, y'all. See, this is what happens. Now we got to bring this one home. See, this is what happens. That's what we just talked about.
You're welcome, freeloaders. Y'all almost didn't get nothing.
Yeah, we didn't
almost get nothing.
We'll save the comments for next week.
Montreal steak season.
Lucky I was here, freeloaders.
Yeah.
I looked out for y'all.
Rod did look out for y'all in the first one. See, but if you would just join the Patreon, you would know what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's right there for the taking. Yeah. It's all you need.
Yeah.
Just join Patreon. Stop
being just a few bucks a month. We appreciate y'all. Come on over. You want to go on to Spotify now to get at us.
If you want a pin that says beef tomato and clamato for Mott's, then I guess go to Etsy.
Andy, stop scrolling or we're not going to get out of this.
I'm just saying.
Stop scrolling.
That's hilarious.
We're not going to get out of this.
I'm going to go to the grocery store right after this.
I'm sure you are. All right. We want to thank Rod and Karen for coming in. As always, we appreciate y'all. Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, chat room. Love y'all. I don't know why there's a baby laying on Randizi's floor, but okay.
I know. Kicking them legs.
Doing baby things.
Thank y'all, and we will see y'all Wednesday. See y'all Wednesday. Well, not you freeloaders, but everybody else.
We'll
Monday
see
and Wednesday for you.
Monday and Wednesday. Yeah. Y'all come on back. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. As always, you enjoyed it. And y'all be sure, Lakita, do we ever follow up on that murder we witnessed? I'm trying to get out of this, Lakita. Don't drop, don't pull me off on a tangent. And y'all come on back. We'll be here for y'all. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Karen Morrow.
I'm Rod Morrow.
And I'm Brother Mark.
Look at that beautiful, happy baby. Black daddy standing up. Black daddy standing up. Don't give a fuck what Tim Scott says. We're three guys on, y'all. And we are out.